Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing Tiffany Schlain, director of Connected, an autobiography about love, death, and technology. And I believe I have her on the line. Let me check here. Okay. Tiffany, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Hello. Nice to have you on the show today.
Yeah,
I watched your movie. I loved it. And I want to dive right in and talk about it. Well, I wanted to find out how you came up with this concept, which is so profound, about us all being interconnected and the way that you did it. How did you come up with the idea originally?
Well, I think it goes back to kind of my early love of computers and connecting the world, and then, you know, founding the Webby Awards and working on that for 10 years and thinking about how we're all inherently connected in so many ways, biologically and genetically and, you know, technologically and all these things, and to look at a big, you know, starting from the Big Bang all the way to where we are today and where we could be going. And so that was originally what I wanted to look at. So that's kind of what I pitched to funders, and that's the film I thought I was going to make.
Right.
Really more of kind of, my films are all very whimsical and have a lot of humor, but delve into rigorous research, and I was going to do kind of an intellectual history and thoughts on the future of connectedness in the 21st century. And then in the middle of making the film, my father, who wrote a lot about the history of civilization, his name was Leonard Schlain, and he was co-writing the film with my writing partners and I, and he was diagnosed with brain cancer and given 9 months to live the same week I found out I was pregnant. And all of a sudden, here I had been making this film on connectedness and not looking at emotional connectedness, and really kind of completely took apart my film at that point and realized I needed to weave in my own story to get at the heart of why we need to connect so much through cell phones and texting and email and all of this. What's that really about? It's our need to feel connected, and where does that come from? But it comes from our parents, and whatever relationship that was, it's so profound to lose a parent. So I wanted to delve into my own feelings of connectedness and disconnection and all of these things. So the film really, in its finished film, interweaves both the story of humanity and my own personal story. And, so it ended as a very different film. But now when I look at it, I realize I could have only gotten to this bigger idea of connectedness by adding some emotional context. So that was a very long answer.
No, you put a couple of my questions into one, so that's fine. So do you think that by doing that, it came out to be a much more successful film by incorporating a more holistic view of it?
I think it had a lot more soul and heart, and it was scary. I mean, it was my eighth film, and I'd never been in one of my films, so that was difficult for me. But I really feel and I understand that, you know, to get to a universal truth, you have to speak your own truth. And that's what I learned through the process of, you know, it was 2 years without me in it at all. And then when I realized I needed to be part of the story, it was another 2 years to weave that into it. So now I look at it, and I'm like, it was essential that that's how the story was told. And, you know, the tagline of the film is Connected, an autobiography about love, death, and technology. And the reason we made up that word autobiography is that I think so much the direction of where our culture is moving is that everyone's kind of learning to tell their own story through Facebook and Twitter, and to share it with people and connect with people that way. And in a lot of ways, I was doing that in a very deep dive of sharing my own story to kind of connect to the larger story of connectedness. I think we're living in a very autobiographical age. And there's so many autobiographies and books, but not very many in films. So the whole thing was just an interesting journey and not what I expected, as the best journeys are.
Yeah. How did you decide what to keep and what to chop? Because that's always the hardest process as an editor, going back through and trying to figure out what to keep. And what team did you build around you to kind of help you with the process?
Oh, that's a great question. There was four writers. I love writing collaboratively. I mean, film is such a collaborative process for me. So there was me and my husband, Ken Goldberg, who was a co-writer, my father, Leonard Slane, Carlton Evans, and Sawyer Steele. And then, of course, when my father got sick, he wasn't working on it. The minute I knew I needed to take it on a personal direction, I brought in an outside story editor named Karen Everett, who's amazing. I just knew mm-hmm. that I didn't want to lose perspective. And she did right. this really interesting thing where she said, okay, we're going to make it two films. We are going to look at the film you already cut, because we had a rough cut that was 2 hours. We're going to look at that mm-hmm. film, and we are going to look at the narrative arc of just the story of humanity's history of connectedness. And now we're going to look at what's happening to you and your personal arc with your father's illness and your pregnancy and losing your father. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put them both into three acts, and then we're going to weave them back together. So it took a year to kind of make them two separate films. And then it took a year to weave them back. And the exciting moments was when the global story and the personal story completely matched. Like what mm-hmm. I was experiencing, like I'll give you one example, but these were the most exciting moments in the writing and editing room. So there was this idea about civilization growing and growth for growth's sake and just using all our resources and growing. And it was at this moment where I felt like, you know, growth for growth's sake is cancer. And it was at this yeah. moment when, of course, my father was very ill. And it was just those moments when what I was wrestling with in a societal level linked completely to what I was wrestling with on a personal level. So those kind of moments happened about 6 times in the narrative structure. But it was, you know, it was like brain surgery. That's the way we talked about it. It's so complicated. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
you know.
So how long does it take to make the film all together?
4 years. Because, you know, we don't shoot a lot. My films are all very heavy. I work with wonderful animators, and a lot of my ideas are animated, and we search tons for archival and contemporary stock images. So I shot maybe just 5% of the movie. Most of it's, like, finding stuff or creating stuff through animation.
Does a lot of your budget go toward getting the stock photos
yeah.
and that type of thing?
Yeah.
How difficult is that?
It's a lot easier today. When I first started making films, I went to UC Berkeley where there was no film production, and that's kind of where my filmmaking style came from, is I made movies by really re-editing together old movies. And the way that you would find them is going into, like, old dusty closets and finding old footage, and now everything's online, and now you can search for anything and find it, you know, just costs a lot, but you can, you know, so licensing fees are a big part of our budget.
Yeah, the animation is unbelievable. What kind of software did they have to use to incorporate all that? I mean, there must have been a lot of software used.
Wait, to incorporate what? Just all the footage?
The artistic elements and putting all that together in the framework with the timeline and everything else is so complicated.
It was a lot. I mean, we, you know, After Effects, Final Cut Pro, we had a genius animator on that film, Stefan Nadelman. But, you know, it's just all in the details. You know, like everything. I mean, there's just so many. I love making films so much. I mean, I was always so excited to, like, say to him, like, I want to show how everything's connected. And I want this to come in. And I want to show satellites and humans and animals and links and ideas. And he would send me something and, more, we need to do more. And a lot of times he sent stuff that was, like, just spot on. But sometimes when I was really try to push it and push it, and put, there's a couple shots in there that just took years to develop. But they're just so exciting. I mean, that's what's very exciting about animation, is it can just be, and you know, you can try to visualize something that doesn't exist, but that articulates mm-hmm. an idea that's so complicated.
What was the most challenging overall? I mean, there's a lot of challenges, it sounds like, but what do you think is the most challenging with doing a film?
Oh, just to put myself out there. I think I was very mm-hmm. scared about that, and I just kept on. I had a couple mentors just say, you know, just be as honest as possible. That's how this film will be good and real and strike a chord. And then I was so scared, and then we had our first, you know, our premiere at Sundance, and it was amazing how connected I felt to people in the room. I got more hugs at that screening than I've ever received at a screening before. And I realized that you know, it was the right, like, that's what my mother always says, you know, she's a psychologist, that success distances you from people, but tragedies and hardships are what bring you closer together. And so at those screenings now, I mean, it's wonderful that I go to a screening and I just know by the end of it I will feel very close to every person in that room, And they're all, you know, some people really connect to the idea. We call it the idea portion of the movie. And some people will tell me they've just lost their parent to cancer, or they've miscarried. I go into a lot about my infertility issues. So a lot of women will share that with me. So I just end up feeling incredibly connected to people afterwards. So, you know, and our goal was really to trigger a global conversation about the good, the bad, and the potential of connectedness. And the film premiered January 2011, and it just had a beautiful run. You know, we were in theaters last year, and now we just are now available from every, you know, iTunes, Netflix, everything. And now we're doing a new experiment where people can just download it right from our site. And if they then love it and want to share it with their friends, they get a cut from the proceeds, which I believe is kind of a new model for independent film.
That's
and then
Dystrophy.
The State Department's taken. What?
That's called Dystrophy, right?
Dystrophy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the State Department's taken it around the world. So it's just been, you know, everything I could have hoped for. I mean, it's doing what I hoped it would do, which is start a conversation. And we have, like, a really intricate discussion kit that goes with the movie. And people are just moving so quickly today with all these technologies and, you know, changing the way they do everything. And I think we really need to take the time to talk about the parts that are good, the parts that are not so good, and what's the potential, and how can we direct it, that potential.
Mm-hmm. And why don't we give out the website so everybody has it before we forget?
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I forget. It's connectedthefilm.com.
Okay.
And you can just watch it right from our site and try this new cool model we're trying, or you can go to any of the – it's on demand all over the U.S. and Canada right now, too, and in a lot of countries. Yeah, it's cool. And then this whole new film series we started really came from ideas from Connected, and that's been really fun, too. We've been – making films.
Let It Ripple.
Yeah, Let It Ripple. This new film series called Let It Ripple, Mobile Films for Global Change. And in the climax scene of Connected, we kind of asked, what's the potential of everybody having cell phones and everyone being connected? And we really thought, like, let's try to make a movie with everyone. So we wrote, the film Connected ends with the line, for centuries we've been declaring independence, perhaps it's time to finally declare our interdependence. Mm-hmm. And we wrote a one-minute script after Connected was done called The Declaration of Interdependence and invited people all over the world to read that script to camera. And then we edited it like crazy, added animation, Moby did the music, and we made this four-minute film that we're now making free customized versions for nonprofits. And what I mean by that is we literally just changed the last line of the movie to be a call to action for any nonprofit in the world. We put their logo, their URL. It looks like it's their movie.
Mm-hmm.
We've made three of these types of films so far, and we've made almost 500 free movies for nonprofits in the last year and a half. So it's been super exciting, new way of making movies for us. So both collaboratively in the way we make them, then people all over the world help us translate them, and then we're able to, what I feel like, solve a problem, which is that so many nonprofits do amazing work and they don't have good films to engage their base. So we can, you know, make films for many nonprofits all over the world.
And so far you've done, I think, Brain Power, Engage, and Declaration of Interdependence. You've done those three so far, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
And we're working on the Science of Character right now, which I'll premiere at Tribeca.
Great. And are you still looking for videos for that?
You know, no.
What
was it? Last week was our deadline. But if any of your listeners works with a nonprofit and would like a free movie, they can, at letitripple.org, they can check out the films we have available. And we do call for entries for films. We ask for artists to send us artwork and videos all the time. So we have a super active Facebook page called Connected the Film. And or they can, you know, I do a quarterly newsletter that kind of lets people know if we're doing a call for entries or if we have a new film out that people can go to on tiffanyschlein.com. But we have a lot of ways for people to either get free movies or send us artwork and videos. And we're very into this new way of making films. We call it cloud filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Using the internet to kind of collaborate.
Yeah, it seems to be like the way that everything is going, really.
Yeah,
going,
for sure.
I think.
Totally. Yeah, it's exciting.
And I was going to ask you, since you had it as one of your questions for the video for Science of Character, how do you hope people will describe you, let's say, in 20 years? And what do you hope that people will see you as?
Huh. Well, so good. You just turned the tables on me.
Tough question.
Well, I hope that, you know, that my creative work continues to inspire conversations. I hope people will say that I brought to the whole discussion of, like, the working mother, because I, you know, my family and I unplug one day a week, and
I love
as
that.
Much as I create, I also feel like it's very valuable to not work too much, and I really value that, just to, and so I hope that that message is, you know, because I think being a present mother and a contributing member of society are both equally important. And there's many ways to do it, but I just feel like valuing the unplugged time and being present is super important. So that would be another one. So, and, you know, doing my own path. I have always been my own boss and done things my own way and lived a life very creatively. Like, everything's a creative act to me. So I hope that can inspire people. I look at my week, I'm like, how am I going to creatively live this week? And I really do. Like, what am I going to do that's going to be, you know, for my kids, for myself? What new thing am I going to work on? I mean, I really try to design my weeks as, like, in a creative way. I hope I can inspire people to think that way.
Okay. And you're talking connected about people being stuck kind of in this dopamine loop of always tapping in and tuning in. Do you think that they can ever tune out and kind of step back and look at the big picture, or do you think that we're in trouble because people are too tapped in to see what's going on?
I do. Overall? I think they are. I think, I mean, listen, I love being online. I love technology and the new ideas it exposes me to and new people it connects me to, but I also think that there's very, very much value in turning off too.
And you talk about how the internet is actually changing who we are and connecting our left and right brain. Do you see that happening in the world yet, or is it just on the beginning of us changing as a culture?
I think that we are definitely evolving, and technology is definitely rewiring our brains. Everything you do, you know, when we started with the written word, it rewired the way we think and process information, and we're in a major transformational shift right now. So, you know, people just need to be mindful that being online all the time is rewiring the circuitry in your brain, synapses, and to be mindful of what that means, like still value other modes of thinking and talk about the good, the bad, and the potential.
You kind of make it out that it's almost a good thing, because you talk about your father's book, Leonardo's Brain, and how he was able to incorporate intelligence into art and science. Do you think that it's a good thing? That, I mean, I know it has a curse to it, too, but do you think it, overall it's a good thing that we're changing?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe we're moving forward. Definitely.
And did your father's book actually get published? Was it out?
That's a great question. We are in the process of getting it published right now. So we have it edited, and it should be, you know, available to the public very soon. And we're very excited. It'll be the 4-year anniversary of his passing this May. And we really hope to have an announcement then of when they can get the book.
That's great. Your father just seems like he was an amazing person.
He was very inspiring. He inspired everyone around him to kind of think big and be the best person they could be. I would hope that I would do that too. You know, back to that other question.
Yeah.
He just made people want to try harder and like reach higher in their thinking.
And much like you, he also spoke around the world. Both of you have kind of spoken all over the place, and I know that you were involved with TED. Tell me a little bit about the process of you've kind of created these books and educational materials. How did that come about?
Yeah, so the TED conference started a new book series last year, and they asked me to do a book. And I was just finishing the script on one of my cloud films, Brain Power, which looked at how to best nurture children's brains and the neuroscience behind that. And I linked that to how to best nurture the global brain of the internet. And I had all this research that wasn't in the film but hopefully came out in the script. So I was like, why don't I take the script and turn it into a book? And they're all iPad books and Kindle books. That's the TED book. So I did a book for them that came out the same day as the film, which was exciting. And now we have a printed version of it just about to come out. So, and the concept of the TED books is that they're like a TED talk. You could read it in one sitting. So it's 40 pages, and it was really fun to write. And, yeah, it was a great process.
Great. And you made a lot of connections with all these. You're involved with the Huffington Post, and you're all over the place. What do you think is the best way for people to get out and connect? Do you think it's to actually get out of their houses and connect with people, or through the Internet, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination. I mean, I love all the ways you can connect with people on Twitter and Facebook and all of these, you know, and I do an email newsletter and all these ways, but, you know, I go to a lot of events. I love to be inspired by artwork and conferences, and I don't know, so I think it's a mixture of both, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What would be your advice for a filmmaker that's just brand new to filmmaking? What would be something that maybe you've learned about the filmmaking process that you can pass along?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think that you practice your craft. There's so many tools available to keep on practicing making films. And I feel like everything is a medium for storytelling, like Twitter and Facebook, and like they're all ways to tell a story in some level. So there's so many new mediums to hone your craft in storytelling. And then in terms of filmmaking, you know, there's so many masters you can learn from. I mean, now with all these Blu-rays and director's commentary, I mean, it's like you get film school with any of these, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much available. Like, I couldn't afford to go to film school when I was young. And I just started making films. And I just, but today there's so much available for everybody to learn from the masters.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely people should try to do that.
Where do you think technology is going? Do you think that, you know, you talk about it going from the desktop to your pocket. Do you think that we're going to end up being robots and being studied by your husband, the robotics professor? Where do you think it's going?
You know, my husband, who's a professor of robotics at UC Berkeley, even he believes that, you know, robots will always be, he's focusing on something called cloud robotics, which looks at how, you know, robots will never take over humans. I mean, we, both of us do not believe that, but there'll be ways that we will collaborate where they, you know, they will work with us. And so I have never have any of those fears that, and a lot of people say, like, computers and robots are going to take over. I mean, I think that's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
They'll
well,
never
it's really
feel.
Interesting how you talked about, you know, the brain is too small. It won't fit in our physical heads, but computers allow us to have a brain kind of outside of ourselves. I thought that was really interesting.
Yes, this is true. And that's, you know, I mean, I think the biggest thing that a lot of people talk about technology as if it's this other thing, but it's just an extension of us. And I think if people, you know, Marshall McLuhan talked about that many years ago, and if people looked at all these tools as more just extensions of us, they will feel more empowered that they have agency in how they use them and when to turn them off. And I think that's a really important way to think about that technology in general.
It's interesting that you kind of had this foresight that the Internet was going to be this big deal when it first happened. What made you start the Webby Awards originally?
You know, I mean, going back to when I was in high school in the 80s, I was really into computers, and I co-wrote this proposal with a friend called UNITAS, which stood for Uniting Nations in Telecommunications and Software. And it was like the idea that computers were going to help students all over the world communicate and world peace would happen, which is like, it was naive, but it was a big aspiration as a high school student and really into computers and the potential of them. And I went to the Soviet Union as a student ambassador when I was right after high school. And then when someone first showed me the web in, I think it was 94 or 95, it's like, this is that tool that's going to change the world. And I was given the opportunity to found the Webby Awards when I was 26 years old. And I just thought the web was just, no one knew what it was. And I thought, this is going to just change everything. So it was exciting to kind of try to let people know this new framework that was going to change absolutely everything in society. And it has.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the Webby Awards for those that don't know what it is.
It honors the world's best websites. I founded it and ran it for almost 10 years, and then I wanted to go back to filmmaking full-time. They happen in New York every year. Mm-hmm. You go to webbyawards.com, and, they're honoring the best and the pioneers of the web. So it was so exciting to be in my 20s and 30s and be involved with it, and now it's very fun to just see it fly and make films a lot about the web's influence on the world, and, you know, it's been a great ride.
Do they still have five-word speeches?
Yes, that has not changed. And that came up before Twitter. Came out before Twitter. Creative constraints are very good, always.
That's so funny. But it's, you know, I saw Al Gore doing his five-word speech. It's just so funny to see someone that is used to going on and being able to cut it down. And like you said, that's so important with the filmmaking process, too, to be able to edit, right?
Totally, totally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's next for you besides the projects you've already mentioned? Do you have any other big film ideas in your head for something in the future?
Yeah, I mean, all of these shorter cloud films are going to become the backbone to my next feature, which really looks at what does it mean to be human in the 21st century. And I'll explore all these different issues that connect us. So it really builds off Connected. And, you know, we're doing one that's science of character. We're going to do one on the benefits of failure. We're going to do a whole series of, like, 8 to 10 more of these, and they will become our next feature.
So you're just going to incorporate all of them together, kind of like you incorporated the two films. Great.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
And I'm meeting with
involved?
That same story editor on, like, how to link them all together.
Are you involved with any other organizations doing speeches coming up or anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm giving the keynote at Tribeca Film Festival's Interactive Day on April 20th in New York.
Right.
And I'm really involved with the Aspen Institute and Sundance. Mm-hmm. I have a whole bunch of keynotes coming up. But if anyone's interested in hearing me speak or, you know, seeing our films, we have if you go to tiffanyschlein.com, there's a lot of updates around that and kind of articles about my thoughts of unplugging, and there's all sorts of stuff if they're into exploring. And I'm on Twitter at Tiffany Schlein, and it's an exciting time to be alive and engaged in the world right now.
How do you keep your schedule going? It seems like you're so busy with everything going on and your mom.
You know, when I was younger, when I did the Webby Awards, I worked crazy hours. But once I've had kids, you know, I try to I take off on the weekends. I feel like I'm more productive if I actually take off and relax. So I work really hard when I work. I go in twice a week to my film studio, and the other days, you know, I'm working from home, and then I pick up my kids and I'm with them. And then after I put them to bed, I work again. I'm just like very kind of, my husband and I collaborate a lot. We get up really early before the kids get up. That's our most creative time, try to write before they get up, and then, you know, I think it's just about, like, work hard, play hard. That's kind of my philosophy. But I do a lot of sleeping 8 hours is essential to me. Like, I'm a better person if I sleep. So I'm old enough to know that that's not a good strategy, is to run yourself into the ground.
Yeah, that's what I need to learn.
I value sleep a lot now that I'm almost 43.
So any last thoughts before we close about the films or about your wish for humanity or anything like that?
Yeah, I just wish that people would feel like they have more agency in how they, like, use the amazingness of all these tools, but also know when to unplug and be with just themselves and just be still. That's important, too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite quotes, and I've seen it in a lot of different variations, so I'm not going to quote one person, but it basically is, don't lose sight of the little things, because in the end you'll realize the little things are the big things.
Hmm. Yeah, it's true. You have a lot of great quotes in your movie. It's like, I want to write them all down.
Well, quotes are, you know, in a lot of ways, they're like, if you think about Twitter, I mean, it's like you're distilling a very complicated idea in a short way. And I think everyone's attention span is getting so short that the more you can, like, find these quotes that capture a big idea and stick with people, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Tiffany, well, we are running out of time, but thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, great talking to you.
if you have, you know, any of these other projects get going, if you want to come back on the show, just, you know, have Aaron contact me. And
oh, that would be great. That's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
All right. You too. Thanks. Bye. Okay, well, that was Tiffany Schlain, and that was an excellent conversation. If you have not seen the movie Connected, I highly recommend it. It is an amazing documentary. Really makes you think about our interdependence and about the effect of technology on the world and how we all are affecting each other. It's really insightful, and I would definitely check that out. Okay, guys, well, I also want to let you know that I have a lot of interviews coming up, not just here on the site, but not just here on the radio show, but also on my blog and different things for the Palm Beach International Film Festival, which is coming up. It runs April 4th through April 11th, and I want to give you a little bit of an overview about the film festival right now. You could also check it out online at www.pbifilmfest.org, and the opening night is on Thursday, April 4th, with Decoding Annie Parker at 7 o'clock at the Movie Co. Parisian at City Place in West Palm Beach. So if you are here in Florida, you might want to check that out. The film stars Helen Hunt and Samantha Morton, and it's directed by Stephen Bernstein. Also, we have the director is going to be attending, and the real-life Annie Parker, and who knows who else will be showing up for that event. It will be followed by a party, so you want to check that out. In addition, there's films the whole time during the film festival, and let's see, I want to tell you a little rundown about some of the films. We have Lost Boy Home, Comedy Warriors, Miss You Can Do It, The Shift. Those are all happening on Friday. There's just a few films that are coming up. Also, on Saturday, I wanted to let you know that the film Lost on Purpose is showing at 7 o'clock on Saturday at the Frank Theaters, the new Frank Theaters over in West Delray, at 7 o'clock. It's their world premiere, and I'm going to be interviewing the directors, two brothers, Ian and Isham Nelms. I'm going to be interviewing them next Sunday about the movie. Unfortunately, it's after their world premiere, but they do have another showing on, I think it's on Monday, for the movie. But if you want to go ahead and go check it out, it's on Saturday at 7 o'clock at Frank Theaters. And it stars Jane Kaczmarek and C. Thomas Howell. And C. Thomas Howell is supposed to be here with the directors at that event. So it's very exciting if you want to check that out. There's also a great party that night at Deck 84, which is in Delray. But you have to RSVP for that. There's all kinds of stuff. Let's see, Monday, there's movies. I'm not going to go through all the movies, guys, but just check out the Film Festival website because they have some of the things listed there, and I'm sure they'll be putting up more as the festival gets underway. The great thing about these events is you never know who's going to show up. So you want to be there. If you're a filmmaker or if you're an actor somehow involved in the film industry, these film festivals are the way to go. Plus, it's just great to meet people. If you are just a lover of film, you want to be out there and find out what it's all about. And if you're not here in Florida, then, you know, plan for next year to come out and check it out, the Palm Beach International Film Festival. Again, the website is www.pbifilmfest.org. And I will be at as many events as I can be at. And again, I will have event coverage. I will be putting up information about all the films that I can on my website, which is www.independentstreak.ning.com, independentstreak.ning.com, and I will have film reviews on there. I will have interviews with the filmmakers. I'm meeting a bunch of directors on Friday morning that I will be interviewing also, so there'll be all kinds of information up there, so it'll be an exciting time for me because I will be very busy engaged in all of these film events, which is always a lot of fun. I always enjoy meeting all these people or talking to them on the radio here. If you are a filmmaker and you'd like to be on my radio show, no matter if you're in Florida or anywhere else, all around the world, I've interviewed people from England to California to New York to, you know, you name it, I've interviewed. Just email me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. I have a couple different emails, but email that one, ravenprods at yahoo.com. Okay, guys, and I will be back next week. I'm, again, set to interview the directors of Lost on Purpose next week, so you want to definitely check that out. And I will talk to you then. Again, same time, 1 p.m. next Sunday. And happy Easter, happy Passover, and have a great week, guys. Okay, bye-bye.